praise your name. We exalt your name. We come to worship you, to honor you, to listen to your word that might change our life. Father, this morning I pray that you take away all of our pride, our problem, and our veil in the heart, so we can see you, we can listen to you, and we can follow your will in our life. Thank you, Father. You speak to every one of us. I pray for humility in this room to accept your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I give the sermon, the theme, Facing the Myths of Marriage. Facing the Myths of Marriage. If you Google, everyone doing Google every day now. If you Google it, there will come up a lot of marriage myths around the world. So, I think this message will be useful and beneficial to everyone. Even you decide, I don't want to get married, it's okay. You can disciple people with this knowledge. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Paul warned Timothy. You shall know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. 2 Timothy, there is in the projector. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. That is the time now. Instead to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. This is what the Bible says. And the biggest myth around us, there is a marriage myth. And we believe that, and that's why a lot of Christian marriage are destroyed, because we believe of this myth. Somehow, every marriage becomes struggle. I think every marriage couple will agree with me. Everyone's marriage seems to change into something we did not expect. At some point, it seems we need more stronger than romance. You need something deeper than shared interest or mutual attraction. It seems that attraction is not enough for our marriage. There are many myths of marriage we unconsciously or intentionally believe, because we are influenced by the TV, by the movie, and everything around us. The first myth is eternal romance is the basic of a lifelong happy marriage. Eternal romance is the basic of the lifelong happy marriage. 2 weeks ago, we celebrate Valentine. The world celebrate Valentine. Everyone know with the big, right heart, Valentine. with the red roses, with the candle night, romantic dinner, and if you got a bit money, then you buy an expensive jewelry for someone you love and confess the love that you have for them. That is a special day. I think that might some people or some couple, they might stop fighting just for the sake of the Valentine's Day. They went out for dinner just because of Valentine's Day. Many relationships begin with an emotional honeymoon, a deep and passionate romance, and we think that will never go away. Dr. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, he says, no matter whom we fall in love with, no matter whom we fall in love with, we sooner or later fall out of love. If the relationship continues long enough. He does not mean we stop loving our partner, but he means that the feeling of ecstatic love, when we experience the falling in love, always will end. Our honeymoon will end. The romance in the beginning of a relationship will not last forever. So for young people, you have to be remembered that the romance will end, soon or later. Some experts believe the half-life of romantic love is about 3 months, and after that you have only the half of the amount of romantic feeling you started with. 3 months only. Others believe romantic love stays at a peak of 2 to 3 years before starting to fade. So that's why if the relationship is dating too long, then they will separate because they feel there is no romance anymore. Why does this happen? When we first meet someone, we like and we intentionally or maybe unconsciously create an unrealistic positive impression on him or her. We fake ourselves. During our courtship or dating, we make an effort to fit into our partner's idealized fantasy or idealized image. We all tend to have an idealized image of the person we marry because of the romantic fantasy we have. I give you an example. There is a girl from a dysfunctional family. There are a lot of fighting, conflict in the house between their parents. And then he has a fantasy, or she believes, one day if I marry, I want to look for a passionate gentleman. And I ask you, is there any patient gentleman? If you define is a patient only, we can be a patient people if we encounter Holy Spirit. Because patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Right. Nothing such, there is no such patient people out there, no. And what I find with the patient people, I define as a delayed reaction. Because the reaction is delayed, it doesn't mean that he is a patient man. A delayed reaction. And usually you find, when you define it as patient people, normally he is very slow, very not organized, not on time, and very forgetful. And because of the romantic fantasy, you can see all his weaknesses. All you look is only the patient you like. The fact is that we marry an image, and only later we find or discover a real person. In every marriage, there is a mutual disillusion. By the time you discover the reality, you think, oh my God, that I marry a wrong person. That's too late. And we become to believe another myth. If things aren't working out in my marriage, I would be better off with someone else. And it's happening. We have to realize that our marriage is not a source of constant romance. It requires our commitment, knowing that marriage is a covenant. So don't believe in romance too much. At this will end. And then you find out the real person and you get disappointed. Myth number two. We all believe in somehow, more or less, everything bad in my life will go away or will disappear. When we get married, my addiction, his addiction, my anger, his anger, my hurt, his hurt will all go away with the marriage certificate. That is very dangerous and very wrong. Why we think like that? Because our thoughts are influenced by Disney movie. Everyone know the story of Cinderella? In this story, a poor stepdaughter, Cinderella, who works as a servant for her wicked stepfamily, and he is rescued by a handsome and charming prince. And what the story said, they fall in love and they live happily ever after. It sounds very good. And as you know, Cinderella growing up in a very poor family. And her step family, very wealthy, but she is very poor because she works as a servant. All she knows, just doing the chores around the kitchen. All that she knows. And on the other hand, the charming prince, he is very charming, handsome, healthy, and very wealthy, and very educated, and he knows all the ethical manner. And when they met together, there is no such family counseling, because it seems that the family value and the role about husband and wife, it doesn't matter in this marriage. All they have in common is only a glass slipper that fit to the Cinderella's feet. Wow. And we all think that our marriage certificate is like a glass slipper. Turn away all our hurt, anger, and our past trauma. Of course, love doesn't work that way. But deep down in our life, we longing for Prince Charming to come and to rescue us. So everything bad in our life will go away. Marriage is not a substitute for an inner healing. Marriage does not remove personal pain, addiction, or loneliness. If you marry just because you are lonely, better you don't find someone to get married. There will come disaster into your marriage. Few years back, there is a mother who came to me and said, my depressed daughter will get married. Soon, she said, and I said to her, be careful. It's better you bring your daughter to the doctor. Let the doctor or medical team handle her depression first. And she looked at me and feel, I think she is a bit offended. Then after a few years, I find out the daughter get married. And when I met the sister of this girl, she told me, the fight starts at the night after the wedding. And they get divorced after a few years, after she got a small child. So that's why we cannot push our depression away with the marriage. Don't marry someone depressed. It's better let them be handled by the doctor first and then get married. When people get married for their own benefit or their own well-being and not for caring for others' needs, they will reap a lot of disappointments. The bad feelings or the problem, our anger, our hurt, our trauma, which we carry around before we were married, remain with us after the wedding. Yeah. You have to be careful. This is the reality. A marriage certificate, as I say, is not a magical glass slipper. Getting married cannot instantly cure your past history, your childhood trauma. But if you are patient enough, obey God's word, marriage can help you overcome the toughest problem in your life. There is a research from 3 Colorado psychologists, and they ran a marriage survey in the Rocky Mountain News. They were surprised by the number of people who experienced traumatic childhood abuse by the parent, children from addicted or divorced parents, and healed themselves through a good marriage. All of us unconsciously hope that our marriage will heal our wounds, our hurts, our unfulfilled expectation. Then we come to another myth. If you are unhappy, then you must be with the wrong person. So that's why there come to a lot of divorce in this world. We all suffer in some degree feeling of self-doubt and insecurity, no matter how nurturing our parents were, because we live in a sinful world. So in marriage, we expect our spouse to convince us that you are worthwhile, that you are good, and to heal our pain. The healing will happen through the years as we allow God to intervene into our marriage, allow our spouse to love us, and we learn how to love them. Husband and wife go spiritually because they have unmet needs and unmet expectations. Fairy tales regard marriage as an end of an adventure after the romance. When you look at the fairy tale movie, the romance takes so long, and then at the end, they are happily ever after. But the Christian faith sees the wedding day as the beginning of the adventure. Myth number 3. There is very common myth. My spouse will make me complete. My spouse will make me complete. Many of us are drawn to people who compliment us, who are good at things that we are not. This is the opposite attract. I am introvert. He is extrovert. I am thoughtful sometimes. He is very compulsive. I like to be alone. He likes a company. He likes friends. That is opposite attract. The meat, this meat, my spouse will make me complete. This meat usually begin with the belief that successful couples or marriages depend on the discovery of Mr. Right or Miss Right. There is no such thing, Mr. Right or Miss Right. Whoever you marry, you will facing with conflict, fighting, and everything. There is the reality. If you are married and you are complaining because your spouse does not make you complete or happy, it doesn't necessarily mean that you married the wrong person. The success of a marriage is not dependent on finding the right person. After you married, you cannot choose anymore the perfect person. It's too late. But there is a way out. But in it depends on our ability to adjust to the real person we are married. There is the way out. We need to adjust. Before married, open your eyes and see the weaknesses. But after married, you have to believe that depend on my ability to adjust to that person. Couple who believe this marriage will become couple who believe or person who believe that my spouse will make me complete, there will become a dependent spouse. And that is very unhealthy. My advice, don't marry someone who likes to depend on you. It's a burden. It's not a real marriage. Your spouse is not God. You cannot depend on him or her. A person with a low self-esteem and sense of insecurity may rely on their spouse for continual support and assurance. Honey, you're doing good. You talk so good. You are very confident, very good. We always ask for assurance and support, and that is very wrong. It's not unhealthy, it's not healthy. It results that he or she will control you because you're dependent on him or her. And that is very unhealthy. Dependent spouse desire happiness, not personal growth. In marriage, we have to believe there is a personal growth. They are not interested in nurturing the relationship, but being nurtured by the person. And that is wrong. You are putting unrealistic expectation on your relationship, and that will disappoint you. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. That is the purpose of God in marriage. The roughness of irons grinds against each other. And that makes the iron sharp. Our incompleteness, our differences, our weaknesses will grind against each other in our marriage to improve our inner being and to produce the best possible person. And that is the plan of God for marriage. So you have to remember, our spouse will never complete us. Only God can complete us. So completeness is found in an interdependent relationship in which two people with self worth, respect, make a commitment to nurture his or her own spiritual growth as well as his or her spiritual growth. So what does the Bible say? There are a lot of marriage myths. So what does the Bible say about marriage? We have to believe on the Bible, not on the myths. Marriage is a union of two imperfect and sinful persons. We have to admit that. And there will be conflict, fighting over and over for their own desires. And that is reality. We look at the Micah chapter 7, verse 5 to 7. Micah chapter 7, verse 5 to 7. And yeah, I have just one moment. Micah chapter 7, verse 5 to 7. Don't trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. Even with the woman who lies in your embrace, guard the word of your lips. What that mean? There is a trust issue between husband and wife. That is in Micah's prophecy. Chapter verse 6. For a son dishonor his father, a daughter rise up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy is the member of his own household. Wow, it's very shocking. A man's enemy is in the household, in the member of his own household. It's very sad. And some people, you know, live in exact this situation. This is the worst of times. The culture is corrupt and the marriage and family are in crisis. Few weeks ago, I went back to Indonesia to visit my sister. And there are a lot of news going around about the previous Jakarta governor. You all know he is a Christian. He called himself a Christian. And he was put in the prison because of religious blasphemy. And not long in the prison, he filed for divorce with the reason that his wife has an affair. So that is the valid reason, biblically correct, for us to get a divorce. And in January or early February, I can't remember, he came out of jail, of the prison, and he declared he want to marry a girl as young as his firstborn son. And then make a lot of comment and a lot of disappointment for his supporter. This is the Bible said, a man's enemy. And you can imagine, there are comments from their children. You can imagine how hurt they are by the parent. A man's enemy is the member of his own household. I'm not here for judge, but I think this is what the Bible says. An enemy, a man's enemy, is the member of his own household. It's very sad. And there is another, I give you some example. There is another wealthy lawyer and well-known. If you Google it, you can find. And he has an Instagram, always flirting with a young, beautiful girl, around and around and every time. And if I see at the Instagram, it's very disgusting. And I look at the interview, a presenter, a woman presenter, interview him with the wife, and I surprised, oh, he got a wife. What kind of wife is that? Can live with a man like that? He has a wife with their two children. I don't know how many children they have.
they present with the two children and they got the interview. And then the presenter asked him, what do you think how your wife feel when you do something like that in front of many people? And you were surprised what he said. He said, every man have attraction for a beautiful woman. That is normal. Yes, of course, that is normal. And he said, I give my wife a lot of money. And I have never asked her how she spent her money. In other words, I shut his mouth with money. So I buy my freedom. I can do everything with a lot of beautiful young women. He called himself a Christian. A man's enemy is the member of his own household. And at the interview, the daughter said, I hope if I get married, my father will not witness my husband do the same thing as he has done to my mother. It's an important statement. A man's enemy is the members of his own household. So I continue now. Mark chapter 10, verse 7 to 9. Marriage is a covenant. What God has put together, let no man break it or separate it. Apostle Paul has written in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 27. I give my easy translation. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Christ sacrificed for the church, to redeem us for our salvation. And wife, you submit to your husband as the church submit to Christ. In order for us to be able to submit, we have to let go our pride, our right, our will, our desire. Marriage is a mutual sacrifice. If you marry with the expectation that your need will be met by your partner, then you are on the wrong side of marriage. Marriage is not about me or you. Love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 5. Love is what? Patient, kind. Does not envy, does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor other. It is not self-seeking. Love is not just a feeling, although love can have feeling. But love is what we do. That is according to the Bible. We believe that if we don't feel loving, we can't behave lovingly. That is wrong. Because the Bible teaches us, when you don't feel love, you have to do something. You have to sacrifice to your spouse. You have to do something you don't like to please and make your spouse happy. That is the Bible. So we have to put our spouse needs over our own needs. Our flesh craves by nature that our marriage can fulfill our longing and our desire and our passion. Many of us are desperate for romance, emotional connection. If we are not careful, we will let our selfish desire lead our marriage instead by God and His word. This causes us to believe that marriage is only meaningful if we find the perfect husband or wife, someone who can meet our needs and complete our fantasy. Paul encouraged believers to watch a life of godliness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved by God, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgive you. If this is true of how we should live with all people, how much more true toward our spouse. We are called to put our spouse's need and wants above our own needs. And lastly, marriage is a gift of God. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 says, but I wish everyone was single just I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. What he is talking about here is the marriage gift. He said he has no gift for marriage, but others do. So that's why this is a special gift from God. Paul described my marriage as a gift of God's grace for his glory and to serve others. He put the focus on God and others, not on us. We often ask, if marriage is a special gift of God, at times or all the time, why does it make me unhappy? I repeat again our question. If marriage is a gift of God at times or all the times, why does it make me unhappy? Because we wrongly view the gift of marriage through the lens of cultural romanticism. That's why we disappointed. Romantic candle night, red roses, picnic here, picnic there, to make our romantic life be fueled again. Paul showed us that our self-righteousness won't help us in our marriage. We must raise our hand and surrender to the giver and say, I can't do this by myself. We need your grace, God. Like Micah chapter 7, verse 7, Micah said, but as me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. He teaches us to put our hope in God, not on our self-righteousness. The true meaning that marriage is a gift of God, that means we accept and receive the grace of God. As we draw near to Him, He will change us. And then we allow God to open our spouse heart or spouse eyes to see that we are changed. And He will allow God to change him again. And then that way we resolve and we restore our marriage relationship. You need to change your expectation, your commitment, and most importantly, you need the grace of God in your life for your marriage. God bless you.
Before we go, we just want to close up in worship. So can I invite everyone to stand up? I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up, I lay my hand, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Yes, Lord. Yes, all my life you have been so, so guy, you will suffer because he's so slow, disorganized. I meet them. Sometimes my wife said, why are you not so patient with that guy? I said, no, too slow. Too slow. Pray a lot to find the right person, okay? Okay? If you don't know how to find the right person, ask me and my wife, okay? That's good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bapa, terima kasih kalau Engkau telah memberikan kami pengertian tentang marriage.
Lord, we thank you so much for giving us understanding about marriage.
Biar kami bisa mengerti lebih banyak lagi tentang dua menjadi satu.
Lord, continue to teach us what it truly means for two to become one.
Kami datang dari latar belakang yang berbeda.
We all come from different backgrounds.
Tetapi bagimu tidak ada yang mustahil untuk menyatukan kami.
But with you there is nothing impossible and you can unite two different people.
Kami tahu dalam pernikahan kami, kami bisa menciptakan surga.
We know that within our marriage, we can experience the taste of heaven.
Sebelum kami ke surga, kami ingin surga ada di dalam rumah tangga kami.
And before we see you in heaven, God, we want to taste it in our household.
Berkati setiap kami.
Lord, bless all of us.
Rubah hidup kami.
Change our lives.
Rubah cara pandang kami.
Change our perspective.
Kami percaya kalau kami berubah, partner kami pun juga berubah.
And we believe that when we are changed, we will also see change in our spouse.
Terima kasih untuk kasih-Mu.
We thank you for your love.
Engkau selalu menantikan perubahan dalam hidup kami.
You are always changing us from the inside out.
Siang hari ini kalau kami pulang.
But today as we go home,
kami ingin berubah.
We want to be changed by you.
Kami ingin merenungkan firman.
We want to meditate on your word.
Berkati hidup kami.
Lord, bless our lives.
Dalam nama Yesus.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Blessing upon your life. Amen. Have a great Sunday.